We're going to talk about unleavened bread. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Let's find out about Passover. Let's see what the Word says, and then we're going to take it from there. This is what was said in the beginning. You're all familiar with it, but like I said, we're going to do it by the numbers. Exodus chapter 12. I tell you what, while everybody's turning there, you quickies, turn back to chapter 9, verse 5 of Exodus. And it reads, "And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land." That's a very, God never does anything without foretelling his prophets, that is to say, through the Word. And there's a set time for it. And that becomes paramount. It is that set time that we're interested in, because all else is filth. Not saying it isn't important, but it's just fill to kind of confuse those that do not have eyes to see. So set times and learn how to distinguish those set times. Chapter 12, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," naturally, you know, they're in the captivity, "this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you." Now the first year that was spent on the ark in the Hebrew is logged in a one solar year. And Passover naturally comes 14 days after the beginning of the year. When is the beginning of the year? Every year it's the spring equinox. Now man's calendars, moons, months, do you realize that when we changed calendars to our present one, they dropped 10 or 11 days? Just didn't fit, just threw them out. Well, where does that leave you from day overall? But the old sun comes up every morning, it goes down every night, has the same number of turns, but the moon gets kind of confused. You know, it just flits about, and it doesn't make a circle every 30 days. But, well, I'm sorry, it does. It's 29 hours and 29 days and so many hours, all right? But that'll goof you up. But hey, you got the sun, and it's dependable. So this is the year we're talking about. The new year begins at spring equinox. You all know what the equinox is, don't you? That's when the earth is equal with the sun shadowing, you know, the whole earth or part of it, and then it begins to tilt. And that puts, in the wintertime, us away from the sun, and what happens? It's colder. Okay. And then in the summer, the spring equinox, it begins to tilt to the sun, and what happens? It gets hot. Okay. So every symbol that I have ever found from ancient travelers, do you know what calendar they used? Solar. Because the sun is dependable. Now, our people have been so long in the night and in the darkness that we kind of forget how to count. That's a different subject for a different time. Anyway, we got the new year. Let's see what happens here. Verse 3. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb of usually figured about 10, say 10 people to the lamb maybe, 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Now, I've known old boys that could just about put a lamb away by themselves, you know. They could tanker away. So that's something we just figure on our own, okay? 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats." You're going to pick it on what day? The 10th. And naturally, this looks forward to Christ. This is why that Christ's leg could not have been broken on the cross, and they simply pierced him in the side, because there couldn't be a broken bone or a blemish. It would not have aligned with God's word. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now this really gets complicated, doesn't it? So many people write books about Passover and when it should be, and a child can understand this. 14 days after the year begins, you know. That, I mean, just that simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Get that little old lamb. And 4 more days. 1, 2, 3, 4. But when did the day start? In the evening. But what's at what time? Sundown. So what's that date set by also? The sun. All right. The sun. That began the day on the 14th day of the new year. At sundown, it began. You could count it the 13th day at sundown. You're in the 14th, all right? So, and what verse was I on there? And okay, we got, and you shall, verse 6, let's go to there. You shall keep it the 14th day. We got that. 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. Now, let's get really technical, okay? You got a house today, right? But really, what does your soul dwell within? This house. This house. Within this flesh body, all right? That is your house, spiritually speaking. It doesn't hurt to anoint your abode, that is to say the bricks, mortar, sticks, with the oil of our people to order anything away from it. But think a little bit higher than that. This is your house. Okay? Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. There, we've got that unleavened bread right in there. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. The bitter herbs, of course, standing for the bitter slavery that they had been under. And I'm going to tell you what, it can get a little bitter in this old world today as you serve, too, all right? 9, eat not of it raw, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertens, that's to say the insides thereof. 10, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. You're going to sacrifice it. Okay? 11, and thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So what does that, he's giving us something here that man can see, can feel. That means, man, you're in a hurry, you're ready, right? You're ready to go. Well, if this happens to be your house, and we know what our lamb is now, I hope I never have to teach that. You know what it is, it's Christ. I don't know, are you ready? That's what Passover is about. Have you got it? Are you ready for action? It's a time for honing and to be prepared to cross over into what? The promised land, of course. Now, I'm not trying to get a comet ship ready to go here or anything like that. You all know of which level I speak, okay? But that means to be prepared. You got to know. Let's look at it in a military sense. You've got to know what kind of battle you're going into, what weaponry the enemy uses, and what you have to utilize to beat him. Because we always go out to win, not to lose. I mean, we look at it like there is no possibility, because that's just the way it is with Christians. We're not going to lose. Somebody might slow us down a little bit occasionally, but we'll get back up to speed. So be ready. And the only way you can be ready is to have it cocked and loaded right up here. I'm talking about your brain. Cocked and loaded. I just happened to think, what a picture that must have made. Boy, what a weekend. Okay. Have the seal of God in your brain. That means inside your forehead. Then you're ready. Until then, hey, you're duck soup. You ain't nobody until you're ready. Because they're going to take you out. You're going to be deceived. Because you don't know which way to go. You don't know what God's plan is if it's not loaded. You don't know how to serve Him. He can't use you that way. And here you go. You'll have these old-time religious things. But all you got to do is be saved. Don't you know? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from confusion, ignorance, deception. And Christ has it all available for you to eat and to partake of and place right in here so that you're well equipped. I mean, one of the best equipped armies in the world as far as who our enemy is and what we're going to do to him. All right? Verse 12. For with that house marked, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. What he's saying here, there are no gods there. I'm God. That's what he's saying there. When he says, I am Yahweh, that means there are no other powers. There are no other gods. And that's what I'm going to do to them. And 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now let's update this to the New Testament. When Satan is given his marching orders by this same Father in Revelation chapter 9, what did he tell him he could not do in Revelation chapter 9 verse 4? Don't you dare try to touch one of those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Why? He can't fool us. We know he's coming. We know what his plan is. He hadn't got a prayer. Because we know who he is and he's on our list. So that's why it's important that you have that mark in your forehead. All right? God recognizes that. Satan can do nothing about it because God will not allow it. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You'll always remember it. That's why we're here today. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now be sharp for me. Did it say you will keep it as a law forever? No. It said ordinance. And you've got to know the difference between ordinances, statutes, and law as you load this. Okay? This being an ordinance. 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Boy, there it is. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Hey, that's pretty serious. And that's why we have so many questions about unleavened bread. Boy, that doesn't leave too many ends open, does it? And that sounds like, to me, that if you have leaven in... And you know, what is leaven? What is it in the Hebrew? It means something, the word really, the etymology of it is to rise up, to raise. You've seen Mama make them biscuits. She puts in a little soda and buttermilk and throws some Clabber Girl baking powder in there. Or if she's making yeast bread, you know, you put it in there and it's all patted down and it just up it comes. It's a form of fermentation. But the prime word is to raise or to rise, okay? Don't have any of it in your house. And of course, the first in this sense, how long did it take your mama? How long did she have to let that bread rest, you know, so it would rise? Too long, friend. If you got to wait for your bread to rise, I'm sorry, you missed the boat. So you make the bread without the leaven, and that old flat stuff, seemed like if I ever try to make biscuits, that's what I get, you know. And I mean, there it is, you know. But you're ready. In other words, which is most important, to be ready or the bread? What he's saying is, don't let something hold you up. So don't lose sight of that point. Verse 16, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. That's a Sabbath, of course. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. That's why priests work on Sabbaths and every day of the week, because they're supposed to feed, all right? And everybody's got to eat. So you Christians that are seed planters, I'm sorry. A lot of people can rest. You can't. You got to feed. And I'm talking about God's Word. 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. It didn't say maybe. It said you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Again, ordinance, not law. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month, at even. 19. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Doesn't matter. That's it. Zip. Cut off. Snip. Verse 20. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take ye a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. That's something you might make a mental note of when we get right down to the nitty-gritty. When the death angel passes over, don't go out unless he sends for you, okay? The word to the wise is sufficient. 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Boy, that sounds like it's pretty well sealed. And if you didn't go deeper into the word, you might settle for that. You might say, well, that's it. It's forever. Boy, forever is ever, and that's it. Then I would ask you a question. Are the blood ordinances still in effect? Answer, no. Why? Because Christ became that. He shed all the blood that should ever be shed for any and all times as a sacrifice for our sins. It would be an insult to God if you were to take a goat and offer its blood after Yeshua gave his life's blood. It would be an insult to the highest degree. So you want to be real careful about ordinances. You might think you're doing right, but you could be offending God in a great way because you didn't keep up. Turn with me now to the great book of Colossians in the New Testament. Book of Colossians. And we're going to start in chapter 2. Does it seem warm in here to you all?
Yes.
Don't worry, I'm going to get it a lot hotter before it's over with. They're working on it, but do you realize that each one of us puts out 400 BTU? You know what BTU is. And you multiply this by 400 and I've got me a raging furnace in here. But it'll catch up with us here. All right. Let's begin with the 11th verse, chapter 2, Colossians, New Testament. And it's speaking of Christ being that sacrifice, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, this circumcision was a blood sacrifice. The circumcision without hands is when Christ comes into your heart. It's both male and female. In other words, he took the place of that. Not that there's anything wrong with circumcision, but you can no longer call it a religious thing. It isn't. Or you would be insulting God in that sense. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen. Risen. Look, there's that word leaven again. What it means to rise. Huh? With him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him. Whoa, raised. There's that old leaven going at it again, isn't it? Raised him from the dead. And you, verse 13, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. Quickened means made alive. Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And that word is all. I don't care what you've done, when he forgives you, you're forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of the law, correct me, don't let me get away with that, ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us. It is tough. Hard to keep up with them. Hard to go by them. 14th and new moon, the old moon, and the crossed over moon, and is that goat there? Is it good? Or the sheep, the lamb, is it perfect? It's hard. Okay. And took it out of the way. What did he do with it? Nailed it to his cross. Friend, let me give you a warning. Don't ever in your life try to pick up something and carry it by yourself that Christ nailed to the cross, or it will crush you. God will come down on you like a ton of brick because you don't respect his son. You don't respect his death on the cross, which was accomplished for you to do away with it. Better said, to fulfill it. Be careful concerning ordinances. 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that means Satan's powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in himself. In other words, he beat him. So what are you worried about? If you have that blood on your house door, you haven't got anything to worry about. Oh, but I'm just kind of naturally the cowardly type. I don't like to say cowardly type. I just like to say I like to worry a little bit. Shame on you. Shame on you. You don't have anything to worry about. There are no giants in the world as far as we're concerned. We take over. We're can-do type people. Why? He did it for us. It's not us doing it. You're just a little old soul he's using. He did the work. It's his work. And he done a lot for you. Verse 16, let no man, now how many is that? Let no man therefore judge you in meat, that means bread or food, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or of the new moon. Why? Why the new moon? What are you? Are you a child of light, or are you of the night? And the moon comes out. Of course, the moon comes out in the day too, so we get to see it. You're a child of light that goes by the solar. Let the lunar take care of itself. That's one of the reasons. Do you ever wondered, well, all the ramifications that was in that when the disciples themselves go, Lord, we can't clean this man because he's a lunatic. Well, now that's lunar. And people are just about that hard to draw out of it, too. You know, they like that moon, that night. 17. Which are a shadow. What was those holidays? A shadow of things to come. But, listen to me, but the body is of Christ. So don't you go messing around back in the old stuff, in the shadows, in the shade of night. Does that mean the law is done away with? Absolutely not, because the laws are not an ordinance. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Be very careful when somebody comes up and says, angel talked to me and I got a message to you for you from God. It's just real humbly. I'm nobody, just a servant of God, but I have a message for you. God knows your address, okay? He knows where you're at. He sent you a telegram right here. I call it a telegram because it's sent in haste. So that you can be ready in haste. So beware of those that come around claiming to be God's messenger. God had a bunch of messengers. There was Isaiah and Daniel and just a bunch of them. And yes, God uses people, but you got a whole Bible full of them. These you can count on. This word did come from God. And when some person that isn't intelligent enough to cut it one way, that gets super spiritual. Now, there are spiritual people, and I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about fakes, okay? And we got a lot of them that can't make it in the world without feeling important within themselves. When you know and I know that we're not important, it is the Word of God that is important. We're nothing. So don't let somebody come around you trying to make some big thing out of themselves when you and I both know their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. Okay? Don't let them do that to you. They'll rob you of your whole ball of wax, friend. They will certainly do it. Because if you listen to them, you let in the most dangerous leaven that there has ever been. And quite frankly, I summed it up for you in one sentence there. That's the leaven you're supposed to beware of. Turn with me to John chapter 6. I'm sorry. Hold your place in Corinthians. Go to the third chapter. And right here, I'm sorry, Colossians. Stay right there in Colossians. I'm getting old. My memory fails me whenever I was about to skip a cog here. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you ever look up? Or are you still back here plowing in the bread? the unleavened bread. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You better keep your eyes open. That's the message. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, if you have Christ in your house, this house, and he's at the right hand of God, it makes a nice combination. Why in the world, if you were in that place, would you want to get back down here in the dough pan? Because it was nailed to the cross. All right? Now let's go where I said. John, great book of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's pick it up with verse 26. Okay, and it reads, Jesus answered them and said, well, first, what's going on here? He just fed 5,000, and he fed 4,000. I mean, he's been feeding off of how many loaves of bread? Where do you think that bread came from? It didn't go that far. You think somebody got out a dough pan and kind of whipped all this back up again? I don't think so. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. They followed him around the lake, okay? They want some more bread. That was good food, good chow. But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, I'll give you some bread that will last you a lifetime. All right? Let me ask you a question. We should use unleavened bread for Passover. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, okay? But will it perish? Of course it will. Naturally, it'll spoil. So that's not what he's talking about. I want to make that clear. 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? All they still wanted was a meal. Meal ticket, friend. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, being Christ, of course. They said therefore unto him, what sign showeth thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? They wanted some more of those little fishes and loaves, see? Okay? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, which is what? Christ, of course. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Without life, what happens? You die. You're a dead person. God gives you that life, which is to say the eternal life. 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They still got their mind in the dough pan. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians do today. Just got to get in that dough pan, got to have this on the right day. Just got to be just right. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's laughable. And that's not to say Passover shouldn't be observed on the correct date if possible. But there are a lot of days that Christ became. Those, you don't want to have all that much, Christ is our Passover, and he is not our Feast of Tabernacles. He's our Passover, and we celebrate that at the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, if you want to look at it that way. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. In other words, all you want is a biscuit. If I give you a biscuit, you'll hunt with me. If I don't give you a biscuit, I know you're out of here. That's not scriptural. Didn't say that really quite there, but that's what he was saying in a way, okay? Am I getting it warmer in here for you? All right, I've even got perspiration on my poor Bible here. Oh, well, hey, I like to serve the Lord, and if it gets a little bit rough, I can still cut it. How about you? All right? For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can you do that? Do you have to do everything for yourself? Or can you do a little something for him? All right? Who is number one? It's not you. It's not me. It's him. And this is the Father's will. This is what he wants, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Boy, I want to be part of that. That's the leaven I want to take part in, is the raising, when Christianity leavens the whole loaf, all right? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay. So, let that be. Let's skip on, if we may, to 43. And after a question, you're familiar with it. And they begin to say, well, who is he if he claims he's the bread of life, the Son of God? He was Joseph's son. Mary gave birth to him. Who does he think he is? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Think about that statement. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's the day we're looking forward to. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Did it say, everybody that speaks saved comes to me? I don't think it said that. It said, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned. All right? Then he'll save you, you bet. But you better, that word will, God's will, do you care about it? No, I just want to be saved. Just get in the door, that's all. I guarantee you, if you get through the door, that will be all. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am, that's the sacred name, I am that bread of life. There is no other. You can mix up all you want to, and you can put leaven in or out. But Christ is the bread of life, period. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. It did not help them. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I want to, for the sake of time, he continues on about his flesh and the blood. I want to go to verse 62. I think somebody might have been offended a little bit, so he picks it up in 62. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He came down from there. What if he goes back there again? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The works that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And of course, again, they were still looking for that loaf of bread. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to skip you around just a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 5. And let's take verse 6 and 7 of that fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians. About 6 through 8 we'll probably go here. And it says there, Paul teaching, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What leaven is usually thought of in the spiritual sense as evil, right? You take in a little bit of evil and accept it, and it will make your whole being evil before it's over with. It's called man being accustomed to his environment without adding spiritual moral values to keep him afloat, right? It'll gradually take you down. 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, that's your house. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. What is your Passover now? Is it a lamb? No, it's Christ. Christ is our Passover, and everything else was nailed to the cross. The Passover is still very much in existence because it's everything. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the bread is the sincerity and the truth that you have in your soul of knowing God's word, to recognize evil when you see it, to recognize fake doctrine when you hear it. Now turn with me to the book of Matthew, and let's put the lid on this thing. Book of Matthew, we want to go to chapter 16. Pick it up at verse 6. This follows the big feeding, okay, of 4,000, 5,000. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven, there's that word, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Take heed, you look at it. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Did Mama put leaven in that or did she not? Is that what he's talking about? Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Do you know what strengthens your faith is the word of God, where you come to knowledge to know what he's talking about, what he's teaching you, whereby you recognize truth when you hear it, or a bunch of nonsense, following old shadows. Why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? What has bread got to do with what I'm talking about other than I use it as an analogy? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Well, they should. They got 12 of them, all right? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? 7 of them, all right? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not, I repeat, not to you concerning bread, but, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, anytime you have a large mass together and you get all kinds of doctrines of that religion's all right, They're nice people. They don't really do this or that or the other, but they really don't even read the Word of God. They just talk. Okay? But they're nice people. What kind of doctrine do they have? When it comes to you serving God, bread doesn't have anything to do with it other than the living bread, and that is Christ's word and sincerity. When you start messing around trying to throw out all the yeast out of your house, and you let in some of the greatest filth there ever has been on television, or some preacher teaching false doctrine, and you're worried about bread. Now, it's time, and it's the set time, that we grow up and recognize the Word of God for what it is before it's too late for some. Clean this out. Get this old paint locker all cleaned out and put the Word of God in it, or Satan's going to have you for dinner. He's going to be your bread. He's going to eat you alive. Because you're messing around with old things and worrying about them, because you haven't read God's word and you haven't kept up to know it was nailed to the cross with Christ, and it offends God when you think a loaf of bread is going to make any difference in your salvation. Well, maybe I made that a little strong, but it's true. It's very true. The leaven is a good example, analogy to use, because as he said, to claim you and cause you to rise on the last day, you better have him as leaven in your soul. Because only he can cause you to rise as the bread does. And it's a good analogy, but that's all it is. Christ is the action. He's the hope. He's the sure resurrection. So keep your eye on him, and don't let people play games with you about old shadows that will take you deeper into the darkness while you're worrying about this, that, and the other instead of keeping Christ on your mind and overcoming. In closing, one last scripture, Revelation chapter 2. This is what you want, dear one. This sincerely is what you want, and don't ever forget it. Please do not think I'm saying you should not remember the Feast of Tabernacles, that you should not remember the unleavened bread, but you had better clean out the right leaven out of your house. Can you imagine somebody running around trying? It means fermentation. You'd have to throw out the vinegar. I don't know what all you'd waste that didn't amount to a hill of beans, and just let this little old thing get all clogged up while Satan just loves to take the attention of our people away from what it's supposed to be on. Whoops. Chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I want to tell you that this word stone is pebble, which is a sister word to the word count, the number of the beast. So you keep that stone that God gives you of truth and sincerity, and you keep up with the word, you study it. You prepare, and you be ready for battle. You be ready to make haste. For it is that leaven that literally raises Christ being that penetrates the body, mind, soul, and spirit, we in him and he in us. And you get that leaven out of this house, which is to say false teaching. Don't you follow this man or any other man without checking him out in the Word of God, and see that you don't end up in a reefer somewhere, hauled off to the... I shouldn't say that. But hey, it's an example. It happened. Because people listen to false doctrine. They're dead. Both spiritually, which is the worst, and physically. We live in perilous times. So get the leaven out of this house, which is false doctrine. Weigh every word carefully of your seers. God helps us. God speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you when He's ready and when it's time. Don't think I'm making light of those gifts and those things. But if it's false, there's only one way you're going to recognize it, and that's to keep up with what was nailed to the cross. Or you're going to be back in old land, thrashing around, trying to get a hold of something, and your life's going to zip right on. God's kingdom is going to zip right on past. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. Thank You, Father, for this written Word, that we may understand the simplicity of the days, the simplicity of the Savior, the simplicity in which He taught. Thank You for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen, amen.